Welcome to my podcast, Patient First. I'm Dr. Naveen Somaya. I'm an Australian registered specialist plastic surgeon with 17 years of surgical experience. As the scientific convener of the Non-Surgical Symposium and a former president of the Australasian Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons, my goal is to help patients navigate the complex world of both surgical and non-surgical aesthetics, but by understanding what is evidence and what is not. This, I hope, is going to help them realize their aesthetic goals safely and in a manner consistent with good clinical practice. This podcast is an extension of that legacy. My aim is to empower you to make the most educated decisions about your choices concerning your face and body aesthetics and your safety. Each episode, I will be bringing to you cutting-edge science and exploring surgical procedures in a modern, evidence-based approach to aesthetics. Plus, I will be inviting some esteemed guests in my podcast in the future to offer new perspectives. Tune in each week as together we explore the next frontier of surgical and non-surgical aesthetics. Welcome back to the podcast, Patient First. I'm Dr. Naveen Somaya, specialist plastic surgeon with a commitment to evidence-based patient safety and plastic surgical care. Plastic surgery has been trivialized by trends that create a buzz. The buzz creates a loyal fan following who do not know the difference between what is evidence-based and what is marketing trend. In this episode, I'm going to explore how current trends are shaping the world of plastic surgery, from the ones that are gaining popularity to the ones that require caution. I will share with you some of the science behind the buzz and to help you make a decision that is going to empower you and ensure your safety at all times. My hope is that you will come away from this episode richer with information into the ever-evolving world of plastic surgery. Rest assured, I will keep it grounded and easy for you to understand. In the interest of full disclosure, as mandated by the Australian health regulators, my name is Dr. Naveen Somaya. I'm a registered medical practitioner and a specialist plastic surgeon. My specialist registration is in surgery, with the specialty field of practice being plastic surgery. My APRA registration number is MED00118989. I wish to advise listeners that the information in this podcast is of information nature only and does not constitute formal medical advice. Any surgical procedure or invasive procedure does carry risks. You should seek a second opinion from an appropriately qualified practitioner to ascertain what is specific risks in your case. Surgical outcomes experienced by one may not reflect the experience by others. As a specialist plastic surgeon, it's not uncommon for me to encounter patients who are well versed with what's trending in the universe of plastic surgery, not just locally, but also globally. So when they come to see me for a consultation, it is natural they will raise these topics with me. What I find, there are two categories of trends. One trend is something that is gradually gaining momentum, that could be an exaggerated version of what we already practice, which could be looked at a bit more critically to see if there's evidence behind them to support the introduction of that particular treatment. On the other hand, we also see trends that are frivolous, that are more marketing hype, extremely unrealistic to achieve in real life, because on the internet with social media filters, they tend to be a lot more convincing. These are the two types of trends that we see. Now that people who are in Sydney and in Australia will have access to information and trends happening globally. So what is applicable in country A may not necessarily be practical in country B. What is applicable in an age group that is different to which age group you belong to, it may not necessarily be practical and hence doable. So as a specialist plastic surgeon, my job is to be that filter, that voice of reason, to differentiate between what is evidence-based and what is not. And that is kind of what we do when it comes to the consultative process, when we discuss these options with a patient. And say, for example, I'll pick an example of the Fox eye lift, which is a very trending topic right now. Now, I do a lot of eyelid surgery, and as a consequence of that, I do get a lot of requests for both non-surgical eyelid interventions as well as the new trending Fox Eye Lift topic. Now, Fox Eye Lift, for my listeners, is an extreme exaggerated appearance of your eyelid and your eyebrow mainly, that is achieved by manipulating the anatomy of the eyebrow and the outer part of the eye to a level that is seen as extreme by many. In some people, it does look attractive, provided it is their natural bony structure and the natural soft tissue structures that make them look attractive with the Fox Eye Lift. If your underlying bony structure does not support a Fox Eye Lift, your soft tissue manipulation, in other words, the manipulation of the eyebrow, the upper eyelid skin, and the eyelid corners, can actually make you look quite, quote-unquote, harsh or a very strange, angry look. So although you may have achieved what is technically a Fox Eye Lift based on the trend that you're so convinced about, it may not necessarily suit your face. Then we also have to take into account, which I do when I talk to my patients, that your upper face, your middle face, and your lower face has to blend in a seamless manner to give you that balance of aesthetics in your face. In other words, once you disrupt the aesthetic balance, people start looking at you in a manner that is not consistent with what they think is normal. So these are things that I do when I see a patient who wants to talk to me about a Fox Eye Lift. In some patients, a natural brow lift along with upper eyelid surgery will give them a natural look, which actually looks like a Fox Eye Lift, but it is not for everyone. This is something that we see fairly commonly. And as a plastic surgeon, my job is to ensure that, do you have the necessary structures to ensure a good result? Do you have the necessary soft tissue compliance to ensure a good result? Is your bony structure of the particular format that ensures that your Fox Eye Lift will actually make you look happy, pleasant, and good, as opposed to giving you a harsher, unnatural look? When it comes to trends, my patients, generally everyone, get a lot of information from social media and traditional media. Now, the sources of this information need not necessarily be authentic, scientific, hard science information. It could be from lay people who are creating a buzz around a particular topic. You have influencers, paid or unpaid influencers. You have celebrities who don't report spontaneously but get reported on by others, mainly media, who showcase the before and afters and none of the reality between them. So when patients who rely purely at face value on the information trending on social media and print out a before and after photos and none of the reality between them, people are sometimes misguided into believing that everything is easy, everything is quick, everything is permanent, and there's no downtime. And some of the beauty ideals that patients see or encounter on social media are unrealistic beauty ideals because they're usually being face-tuned or filtered or quote-unquote touched up. And surgery or any form of plastic surgery is unable to, and including non-surgical interventions, is unable to get you that degree of result. And this is a very important reality check that we go through when we have this consultation with patients who come up with trends that are promoted by lay people, promoted by influencers, promoted by media, promoted by certain celebrities, to say that it is feasible, possible, and doable. The other thing that we encounter quite commonly is things misguiding terminology. Terminology that somehow seems to convey the impression that you can get a surgical outcome with a non-surgical intervention. This is not just illogical, it is totally untrue. So when you hear terms like spider web facelift, now, how could you get a facelift effect using something that is a non-surgical option is beyond me. Is there any evidence to support it? There is no evidence to support it. Medical professionals, and indeed healthcare professionals, do have an obligation to be accurate in how they report data and how they convey the messaging and the comms. But if you do not fall in under the category of a healthcare professional, there are no real guidelines to guide you in how you can say certain information pieces. Are there any guidelines of how much is too much, how little is too little? So there is no scientific temper to this reporting. It becomes an opinion that often replaces evidence. And in the realm of plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery or non-surgical intervention, when you start relying on opinions and not evidence, that is when the patient safety is compromised. It is not uncommon for patients to come and have a consultation with you, having had a lot of information obtained through social media, through influencers, through celebrity statements, through traditional media. Now, people who follow trend, they get fed more trends. So if you start off with trend one, by the time you finish your reading over the next 5 to 10 months, you'd have encountered many, many more trends. Now, when you have that level of information, you already have a preconceived bias in scientific terms when you come and see me. So what that means is you're predetermined what the procedure is going to be. You have already predetermined a level of success. You've already predetermined what the downtime is going to be. And in some cases, we need to come back to reality to say, this is possible, this is not. This is doable, this is not. And what you're experiencing and what you're expecting is not realistic. So in some ways, managing that expectation is the key to the success of that consultation. And most of the time, when we consult with patients, and I do that particularly with my eyelid patients and other facial aesthetic patients, where a lot of the trending topics tend to be, is to try and match the results or expected results to what is basically possible based on your anatomy, your bony skeletal structure, your balance between your upper third, your middle third, and the lower third of your face, and also to ensure that your skincare becomes an essential part of your overall facial aesthetic makeup. So this is done through a process of very detailed, informed consultative process in a manner that we have to respect that patients have taken upon themselves to go and read, acquire knowledge, and we are very glad for that. But our job as scientific professionals is to advise the patients and guide them in a manner that is not just safe for them, but also helps them get them results which they would like. So trying to kind of decipher the information and separate opinion from evidence is what is essentially done at the consultation in a manner that is respectful, informative, and collaborative with the patient. Will one consultation be adequate? The answer is, I don't think so. It'll need more than one consultation. And all of a sudden, I'm giving the patient some extra information that is evidence-based scientific information, focusing on patient safety and good clinical outcomes. This is going to be, in some ways, a contradicting type of information to some degree based when you compare it with the information that you see on your trends, on your social media feeds, and so on and so forth. So it will take some time, and I acknowledge that it does take some time, and that is why our consultative process is detailed, spaced out, multiple, open, respectful, and collaborative. When it comes to demystifying trends and taking a patient through a standard consultative procedure, which is supported by evidence, to manage patient expectations, I'd like to highlight the examples of two very common topics that I get asked most of the time. And both of these topics are well known to my listeners, and I'm sure they are trending topics too. For example, if a young woman comes and asks for a buccal fat removal procedure, knowing fully well that she has obtained a lot of information from the net, seen a few celebrities who've had the procedure done, she likes the looks that she sees on social media. We take her through a process where we first explain the nature of the buccal fat, what the role of the buccal fat is, what is the natural history of the buccal fat, and do you really have excess buccal fat, or is it proportional to your face, proportional to your body? The risks of buccal fat removal mentioned, the short term, medium, and the long term. And one of the drawbacks is, yes, it might give you a quote unquote sculpted, chiseled, hollow look straight away and initially, but as you age, what will happen is it will make the appearance exaggerated, and what you should or what you'd expect to look normal for your age will become an exaggerated aged look, which is not really in your best interest. And unfortunately, when you get a snippet of information based on a trend of social media, you are not going to see that aspect or that outcome of buccal fat removal as the age goes. You will see an instant snapshot. And as we have mentioned before in my previous podcast, that it is like asking to write a review for a movie by watching two still images. It is not possible. It is a continuum of multiple images. And I think patients need to be aware that over time, your body and face will age. And the response of any aging process to a surgical intervention performed when you were young will have effects, whether it is good or bad. That is a matter to be discussed with your specialist plastic surgeon. And when we discuss these logical progressive events, when we look at the impact of what it would look like in 10 years' time, 20 years' time, patients may then reconsider their decision based on the renewed information or the additional data that has been provided to them at this consultation. And that is why we say that an evidence-based consultative process with the professional who is performing surgery in the capacity of a registered specialist plastic surgeon would always enhance the value and enhance your decision-making process. Another common example I see in my practice is for a young woman to ask for a certain look when it comes to breast augmentation. And unfortunately, that particular kind of look will necessitate using an implant size that is significantly larger than what would be more appropriate for that patient's body, breast, and soft tissue support structures. So when that request is in front of me, I usually go through this process in a manner you would go through based on the evidence in front of you, which is the patient's measurements, patient's body structure, the life changes the patient's undergone so far, and what might she undergo in the future? In other words, is she pregnant? Will she be pregnant in the future? Will she breastfeed? And what will the breast look like as you age? Now, the fundamental issue with any tissue is it will become weaker with age. So fast forward 5 years, fast forward 10 years, fast forward 20 years, your breast tissue and your support structures will start to weaken, both at the skin level, both at the ligamentous level, and also there is going to be displacement of the breast gland based on the new anatomy. Now, if you have an implant that is consistent with your body and proportional to your body, that allows your existing tissue to support it. Whereas if you have an implant that is too big because you have chased a trend or you wanted a look that matches the one that you like on social media, there's a likelihood and a high possibility that the implant will stress the soft tissues, will exaggerate the aging process, accelerate the weakening of the soft tissues, and at some stage, the soft tissues will fail to support the implant. So next time you go into an elevator, you'll always see a small sign saying that 12 people no more than 1,200 kilos. That implies the physical capacity of the elevator beyond which it is unable to support a weight heavier than that, which means that your safety is compromised in that situation. The breast implants are no different because your soft tissues have to support your breast implants to give you the aesthetic look. If you overwhelm the inherent support of the soft tissue with the over-exaggerated weight of a breast implant, it is natural that the soft tissues will fail and the breast implant will no longer be in the position you want it to be. Now, you may argue that I can have my breast implant changed and I can have it tightened. Yes, that is definitely a possibility. But then it is easier to deal with small changes in structure than large deformations in structure. And that is true across all materials, whether it is biological material or non-biological materials. So that is one thing we go through step by step in a scientific manner with evidence to suggest that what you see on Instagram need not necessarily factor in the soft tissue rate of failure over time and the influence of your life's events, pregnancy, breastfeeding, aging process, weight loss, weight gain, on what it does to the soft tissue structural support of the breast implant. And by the time you finish your consultation, my patient is usually equipped with information enough to make a good decision. And a subsequent follow-up consultations are also on the cards, which will then help them make a decision that will not only ensure their aesthetic goals are achieved, but also a safety is not compromised. I'll talk about two trends. The first is the Brazilian butt lift, and the second is extreme body sculpting to create muscle etching, too tiny waist, and six-pack definition, and techniques like that. About the butt lift, Brazilian butt lift, also known as BBL. This has taken the world by storm. Everyone knows what BBL stands for, and including, unfortunately, kids as young as 10 or 12 know what BBL stands for. Now, this is a combination of marketing, endorsement, influencer marketing, and the overall results that are shown on the internet on social media based on before and after photos. And when we see these photos do not show one important thing. They do not show the post-operative care. They do not show the time for recovery. They do not show the bruising or anything that is unsightly or untoward or difficult on the patient. So for the patient who is not aware of the reality of post-operative care and the post-operative downtime, risk of complications, this may be seen as a very easy procedure where you go in, you walk out, go from before to after in a matter of quick succession. And marketing jargon surrounding BBL often tends to downplay the risks. Unfortunately, that is not accurate. This procedure has significant risks, and this is one of the only cosmetic surgery procedures that has a risk of fat entering the vein while the procedure is being performed. And unfortunately, this fat can end up in the lung with disastrous consequences because there is a huge amount of fat being sucked from another place and then injected into the butt area to increase the definition of the butt. This fat that has been taken from one point and put into the buttock area is still biological tissue, is still subject to its ability to survive. Does every single fat cell survive? The science does not support that view. So there is a certain amount of fat cells that die. And as a consequence of that, your aesthetic outcomes will reflect that underlying biological activity. I'm not saying that Brazilian butt lift is not a bad procedure. I'm saying it is a surgical procedure with significant risks. So when you go ahead and go with this procedure, it is your best option to go with the qualified specialist plastic surgeon who knows your anatomy, knows the limitations of what can be done, can take you through a process based on what is current scientific evidence, and who also knows what are the safety limits that you cannot transgress. That is a very important point, especially in this operation, because just because you inject 500 cc, that is not, need not necessarily be the right thing. What is the right volume will based on functional aesthetics, your expectations, your aesthetic goals, combined with what is safe and realistic for you. But the other thing nobody talks about is if the fat dies or part of the fat survives, it may not fail symmetrically. There may be a subtle asymmetry in one side versus the other side, which will entail another repeat procedure or maybe two to get the volume you're after. So when you go back to see one before photo and another after photo, you do not know if the patient had one episode of treatment, two episodes of treatment, and how long was the downtime at each intervention. And these are factors that are very important in considering before you make a decision to go ahead with something like a Brazilian butt lift, also known as BBL. When I see a patient for a trend-influenced decision-making operation, like, say, a Brazilian butt lift, we always have to factor the multiple sources of information that the patient is acquiring. Now, when I ask my patients, where did you get most of this information? It soon becomes apparent that it is somebody who either is not the same age, somebody who is not the same type of patient, is somebody totally different. The person may well be a celebrity. So the differences in approach to a plastic surgical procedure and the subsequent downtime, the subsequent results will all differ based on very individual characteristics, very individual properties. Now, this is a reason why a consultative process with a registered specialist plastic surgeon will help the specialist decide what is right for you and make sure that they can tailor the treatment to ensure it's best for you, it is proportional, enhances the aesthetics, minimizes the risk, and enhances your safety. This is very important because you do not have the same conditions that the celebrity on social media is promoting. And it is logical and important to look into those aspects as well, because they will influence your post-operative care, your post-operative downtime, post-op recovery, and your final result. One of the trending topics we see with male plastic surgery in particular is about using liposuction to sculpt the abdomen and in particular talk about a six-pack definition. Now, this sounds like a very easy concept and a very convincing before and after photograph, but nobody knows the underlying metabolic health of that particular person. Nobody knows whether that particular person's BMI was ideal. Nobody knows whether the person's metabolic health and ongoing maintenance of the metabolic health has been exceptional. So before we think of a quick fix of liposuction, trying to create a six-pack and promote it on social media, we need to go back and look at how best to optimize your metabolic health prior to undergoing any kind of procedure that can sculpt or etch your six-pack on your abdomen. The ongoing weight gain, the ongoing laxity of skin, as we see with advancing age, the ongoing changes to the skeleton, which also tends to influence your posture and your shape and your stature, will all have an impact on the abdomen aesthetics. So this is something that is not a very single modality, quick fix operation, because it has to take into account multiple factors that are probably happening at the same time. And the core of this is perfect or good metabolic health, which ensures not just a success of the procedure, also helps to maintain the procedure, maintaining muscle tone, a good ideal weight, a good metabolic health, a good fat metabolism, all good supporting acts to ensure your plastic surgical procedures results are maintained well. We have spoke about trends in plastic surgery and how to understand trends and understand what is relevant information in that particular trend. To my listeners out there who have been watching trends and watching a before and after photograph of your famous celebrity on social media, yes, it is normal, natural to look up to this particular person. It is natural and normal to expect to have a result. But I'd like you to take a step back and think, is the age of the person the same as mine? Is the biological tissue structures the same as mine? Is the lifestyle choices of that particular person same as mine? Does that particular person on social media have the same set of resources or a different set of resources to look after me in the post-operative period to ensure a good recovery, or is it different? Do they have access to things that I don't have access to based on the geographic location of where I live? These are all factors that you have to consider before you assume that you can get the same result, because that is what is reality, which is evidence-based, whereas trend tends to be a marketing term in plastic surgery. We spoke about trends. Let's put on a future hat and see how things will evolve in the future. If you looked at certain trends in the present, like extreme makeovers, fox eye lift, Brazilian butt lift, and a Barbie doll look, what we are seeing in the future is the influence of AI or artificial intelligence, the influence of AI-generated images to make the narrative more convincing, which is not realistic. What is also happening is we are seeing a lot of medications, tablets, injections coming on board to control weight loss, help achieve massive weight loss. Now, the implications of that are good, but one of the side effects of that is you will end up with skin that may not be to your liking. In some cases, it may be a small amount of loose skin. In some cases, it'd be a large amount of loose skin. And unfortunately, the skin stays in areas that are visible, and the skin, excess skin, has been shown to cause significant discomfort and in some cases, medical issues. So we can see the trend going towards medical-induced weight loss, which can then trigger off a whole heap of secondary issues such as excessive skin requiring plastic surgery of varying nature to give patients the best possible outcome. Wearing technology or wearables combined with artificial intelligence is going to be the next big frontier, because everyone is now taking a very proactive approach to health and wellness. So the wearable technologies will start to give you data at unprecedented rates and unprecedented amounts, and the AI can help manage that data analyze the data to come up with meaningful recommendations for you to implement. Now, this is a proactive approach towards health as opposed to what has traditionally been a very reactive approach to health. Now, with plastic surgery and facial aesthetics and body aesthetics and all the evolving or emerging non-surgical aesthetic interventions, this industry is gradually trending towards and merging closer with some of the wellness parameters, not all of them, not overnight, not suddenly, but gradually that space is a continuum going between wellness and aesthetics. And that is kind of where we see this in the future, where patients will be pre-armed with data, pre-armed with methods to extract data, pre-armed with methods to analyze data. We already have continuous glucose monitoring, and we all know what is the impact of glucose on aging skin. There are monitors now that can tell you if your fat is burning or fat is not burning. And all of us know, what has that got to do with your body weight, your general health, your body contour, and appearances? So this is kind of where we see the future coming. It is exciting, but I think it's more important to be prepared for that and be aware of what is around you. Thank you for listening to my podcast, and I hope you took home some valuable information. In summary, online trends, online images portray not just an unrealistic beauty ideal, they also portray an unrealistic achievable parameter. So it is always advised that you consult with a specialist, plastic surgeon, because surgery is invasive, surgery is irreversible, and surgery does come with risks and downtime. It is important for you to factor that into your decision-making process. A specialist registered plastic surgeon will always prioritize your wellness, your safety with evidence-based care. And that's a space will be beneficial to you to help you achieve your goals. Join me next week for the final episode of season one of the podcast, Patient First. And I look forward to seeing you there. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Patient First. I hope you found this podcast useful. Remember, I'm always listening, and if you have any questions you would like me to answer on the show or upcoming episodes, please connect with me via my clinic website. Thank you.